Hi, it's Sydney, a chemistry student that's decided to share what I'm learning about polymers with others because they are really important to our world. Today, I will be discussing polymer architecture. This essentially means what a polymer would look like if you zoomed in and saw the atoms and how they are connected up at a molecular level. Until now, I've mostly focused on linear polymers because they are the easiest to explain without accompanying images. But today, I will be talking more about other polymer architectures and their properties. I got the bulk of this information from various web sources, including an article on ChemLibre Text. And for reference, ChemLibre is actually a really great source for any chemist, and all of its articles are written by professors or equivalent professionals. To start, let's talk about the importance of polymer architecture and what it is in a general sense. Polymer architecture refers to how the monomers that form the polymer are bonded together and look. Sometimes, polymers can be a straight line or linear. In these cases, a monomer is just bonded to another at the head and its tail, and thus it forms a string shape. However, with planning, or sometimes just by chance, one monomer can be bonded to more than just two others at the head and tail. This allows for polymers to be shaped in more than just straight chains at the molecular level. Polymer architecture is important because depending on the architecture of the polymer, the output plastic material made from it will possess different properties. Thus, planning polymer architecture is an essential part of making any plastic material with specifically desired physical properties. Linear polymers are the most basic polymer architecture, as I've mentioned before. If they were stretched out, they would look like a long string shape. I want to take a quick second here and make a distinction between polymer architecture and what polymers look like in solution. Architecture refers to how atoms are bonded together and reflects what the polymer would look like if it was laid flat. However, polymers in solution do not look like their architecture and instead twist and coil to form different shapes. You can think of this as similar to wired earbuds. They're technically a wire if you untangle and lay them flat, but it seems like whenever you shove them into a pocket, they just turn into this jumbled mess and don't really look like one singular wire at all. Linear polymers in solution appear in what are called coil shapes and look like mildly twisted and knotted up string, as opposed to the linear shape that you would see if they were laid flat. The next type of architecture is called branched. In these polymers, there's a main linear chain with branches of polymer coming off of it. This type of polymer would look like a tree branch with smaller sticks coming off of it in any which direction. The smaller branches can either be made of the same polymer as the main backbone chain or a different polymer. If the branch is made of the same material as the base linear chain, the polymer likely formed in one large reaction, and in that reaction, those side branches naturally were made. This is what occurs in the synthesis of low-density polyethylene, which is a branched polymer made by chain polymerization. However, if the branch is made of a different polymer, the entire material is probably made in multiple steps. One step to make the backbone polymer, and another step to randomly add the other type of polymer and make it into a branched structure. This sort of system with multiple polymers present and stuck together is called a block comb polymer, because there are various blocks of different polymers present. Branched architectures typically lead to less dense and more flexible material than their linear counterparts, because the branching structure limits how closely the different polymer chains can pack together. By having less chains packed in a given area, the density is lowered, but also the intermolecular forces, or IMFs, that keep the chain together are lowered because the chains are just not as close together. Briefly, IMFs are natural forces that occur between atoms and hold atoms together. Weaker IMFs, like London dispersion forces, are commonly present and hold atoms together less consistently, while stronger IMFs, like hydrogen bonding, hold atoms together almost like a bond. Lowering IMFs lowers the forces keeping chains together and next to each other, and thus makes the output material more flexible. Thus, branched polymers are more flexible than their linear counterparts. Another architecture, the dendrimer architecture, is a more heavily branched version of a branched polymer, where it might be difficult to even tell where that main backbone chain and center is. More heavily branched just means there are more points at which the polymer splits into multiple chains. In the dendrimer architecture, there is not one main polymer backbone, in fact. Instead, it just kind of looks like one of those crazy circular puzzles where all the paths jumble around. Or at least that's how they look, in my opinion. Star architectures have a central unit with at least three polymer chains extending from that central unit. Thus, if they were laid flat, they'd look like a star. Both the dendrimer and star polymer architectures typically appear into spherical shapes when put into solution, which is different from the coil shape observed in linear and branched polymers. Because of that difference of appearance in solution and the difference in structure, they also have different physical properties than linear and branched polymers. However, these polymer architectures are more challenging to create than their linear and branched counterparts, and often require very specific reaction conditions, so they are less commonly seen in mass-produced plastics. Another polymer architecture that is less commonly used in mass-produced plastics is the comb polymer. Like the star and dendrimer, it is challenging to synthesize, and so it has been limited to use in academia. The comb architecture has one main backbone and many branches coming off of that backbone, but all of them coming in one direction, so it looks like a comb. It is most commonly seen as a copolymer, with one polymer making up the backbone and another type of polymer making up the different branches. So, thus far, I've discussed linear branch, star, dendrimer, and comb polymers, as they are kind of all singular molecules with easily discernible starts and ends. But there are two other types of polymer architectures that are really incredibly important to discuss, just not as clearly definable in molecule form. And these are cross-linked and network architectures. Cross-linked polymers are like branched polymers if the branches connected the main polymer chains together. These structures can look like many things, but I like to think of them as looking like netting, where everything is interconnected in this 2D structural system. It is known that cross-linking in a polymeric structure is a good way to change the properties of the polymeric material and make it stiffer and stronger in the process. This is because the cross-links, the links that connect polymer chains together, give extra support to the material, but also limit how it can move. Crosslinks can be made in two different ways. First, they can be made chemically by putting a polymer into a chemical reaction such that the chains get crosslinked together. This is what happens in the vulcanization of rubber. Rubber in its natural form is not crosslinked, but during the vulcanization reaction, sulfur bonds crosslink the main chains and create a different rubber product. This crosslinked product is then so strong it can be used in things like car tires. The second way crosslinks can form is through physical crosslinking. This could be chains getting tangled up in each other and knotted to form crosslinks, or they could form from strong enough IMFs that the two branches stay close to each other. Physical crosslinking is typically less permanent and less strong than chemical crosslinking, but both make the output material stronger in total. Finally, we have network polymers. While crosslink polymers are more 2D, network polymers are much more 3D in their structure, where monomers are connected to multiple other monomers in many different dimensions. Because network polymers have so many crosslinks, and the crosslinks go in all different directions, network polymers are often extraordinarily strong and rigid. In fact, epoxy, a type of glue, is a network polymer. Epoxy comes with two solutions that you mix together and then lay down quickly to form the glue. This mixing starts the network polymerization of epoxy, and thus, once the epoxy dries, it is very strong. So, to conclude and summarize, polymer architectures describe how a polymer material would look at the molecular and atom scale. There are many different types of architectures ranging in complexity from the most basic linear polymer to the most complex network polymers. Polymer architecture is one determining factor in what the physical properties of a material made from a polymer would be, and thus choosing the proper architecture for a given application is important to the integrity of the desired product. So yeah, they are pretty important to know about. Anyways, thank you for listening, and until next time, I hope you have a wonderful week.